The Terry and Jesse Show, Blue Collar Catholic Radio. This is not right versus left. We are right versus wrong. It's called the TJ Show. You could also call it Truth and Justice, or you could call it Totally Jesus. We could tell you one thing. You won't be bored because this is high information, high energy Catholic radio, and I'm on duty. Terry,
Jesse, I'm glad you're on duty, brother. And yesterday we had that Father Frank Pavone interview. For those who didn't hear it because of the holiday, you might want to listen. I had five different stations across the United States call me and say, wow, keep having those interviews with Father Frank. He's high information. Just a quick note, Jesse, that man is also banned by large Catholic radio networks. They won't put him on the air. We will. Thank you, folks, for supporting us, because you know what? We're not part of the cancel culture. All right, Jess, today's topic. Well, I mentioned yesterday that President Trump, his team is quietly launching a Twitter-like social media platform. We're going to talk about that. Also, Facebook has issued new extreme content warnings. And these extreme content warnings make me laugh in one sense, but it's serious. They are telling people that, you know, you know what an extremist is? A follower of Jesus Christ and their book. We'll talk about that too. Mm-hmm. I got some good news though, Jess. The governor of Texas, man, I'm thinking, if I ever have to get out of California, Texas is looking pretty, Jess. He's triggering signs a trigger bill outlawing abortion in the entire state. We got to talk about that. And then the other thing about talking about the cancel culture, Jess, the inventor of the mRNA technology, he was removed from Wikipedia after he warned people to not take the COVID jabs. And not only was he kicked out of that, the LinkedIn, which is a social media for business professionals, they dropped him. Talk about the cancel culture. If you don't carry the liberal narrative, then we're going to take you out. So that's what we got for today. And we've also got a great quote from Sheen. We've got quotes. We got the gospel of today. Wow. Soul food, we call it. So let's get, before we get into all these topics, let's get our soul food in first, Jess.
The harvest is abundant, but the labors are few.
Oh, well, is that stated today?
Speak, Lord, your servants Amen. Are listening. Today's Holy Gospel, St. Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 to 38, it reads, a demoniac, that's somebody who's possessed, who could not speak, was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he drives out demons by the prince of demons. So the Pharisees are so jealous because they're seeing that he has supernatural power, yep. not from this world. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he performed 27 exorcisms in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yep. At least 27 that are documented. And he drove out a demon from this mute man. Sometimes demons, when they possess a human person, they forbid or they prevent them from speaking. That would be called a mute demon inside the person. Second paragraph. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the God. The synagogue, by the way, is where the Jewish person went to hear the word of God. The temple of Jerusalem is where the Jewish person offered the temple sacrifice. In the Catholic Church, we put both of them together in the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist. The first half is the synagogue. The second half of the mass is the temple sacrifice. It says, so he went around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel. The word gospel actually means good news in Greek. The gospel of the kingdom and curing every disease and illness. Why was he doing that? He's demonstrating what is going to happen in heaven perfectly, where every soul and even body at the general judgment that dies in a state of grace will be cured completely of every disease and illness. So these miracles are simply precursors of the eschaton of how everybody will live in the new Jerusalem, perfectly, perfect integrity, perfect health once again. And it says, at the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity. The word pity is also the Hebrew word mercy. So mercy and pity are synonyms in Hebrew. It's the word chesed. So it says his heart was moved with pity or mercy. for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. I think our Lord pities us right now because
big time.
We live in the same situation right now.
Yep.
Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And at the very least, when our Lord is talking about the laborers are few, our Lord is, he chooses the 12 apostles as laborers to shepherd the lost sheep of Israel. Now, guess what? Every man, and I know this is a big calling, but put on your big boy pants, what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Every man is called to be, and I'm just going to quote St. John Chrysostom so somebody doesn't take issue with me. St. John Chrysostom, doctor of the church, says every Catholic man is the bishop of his house. Is this microphone on?
Yep, let me repeat it.
Okay. Every Catholic man is the bishop of his house, quoting St. John Chrysostom, which means we are supposed to bless everybody in our house, pray for them that they stay protected from the diabolical through our prayers, our faith, and our penance, and make our house a domestic church. Terry.
Well said. That ties right into what Bishop Sheen is saying about sins of omission. He says this. Full steam ahead. There you go. I forgot the whistle. Get that train, that locomotive in, Jess. Wow. He said this. We can lose our souls not only by doing evil, but also by neglecting the good. And I think of that as sins of omission. And, you know, this has been taught for 2,000 years in the church. St. Pope Felix III, I always repeat his quote. He says, not to impose error, like the cancel culture, is error. We have to oppose it, is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect confound evil men, when we can do it, is no less a sin than to encourage them. You know, Bill Gates, who's spending $1.5 billion for trying to get down on population control. Yeah, we have to fight that. We have to stand up for the truth. And so I think what Fulton Sheen is saying today, Jess, is this isn't the time to go golfing. This isn't the time. I mean, I'm meeting with a retired man. He's 78 years old on Thursday. Yeah. And he says, you know, I don't know much about my Catholic faith, but I'm starting to realize that I need to fight for it. So I'm sitting down with him at lunch on Thursday to give him the tools to kind of give him a refresher course on his Catholic faith because he's got a few years left. Let him fight it out with the culture. But you see, here's the point, Jess. Too many of us in the church have been asleep at the wheel. And I'm going to include myself. Yeah. When I was a young person, I didn't realize the battle that was going on until I was at least 18 years old is when I really realized, man, there's evil out there and I'm on the good side. I've got to study my faith. I've got to share my faith. And that was a great grace because so many men, Jesse, haven't got that message until, if they do get it, till later in life. So I consider that a real great grace in my life.
Terry, you've even told me that even later on in life, you realized you got the fact of good and evil really early on.
Yeah.
But just in the last couple of years, you realize that, whoa, this is in the church.
And Jesse, you're the one who's actually helped me see that through demonic activity right up front and up face to face. And I'm going to tell everybody, it's not for everybody to see. I'm just saying that. But it's for everybody to fight evil with goodness. And Jess, I would say that we're living in those times right now where every able body has to stand up and pray and live a holy life and not be quiet when the government or the president of the United States tells us, you're going to be paying for abortions. Shut up and sit down and pay your taxes. No.
Speaking about living a holy life, St. Maria Goretti, pray for us.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about her.
She was born to Italian farmers in 1890. Maria Goretti was not even 12 years old when 19-year-old Alessandro Serinelli attempted to rape her. Maria protested. She was concerned more for the threat to Alessandro's purity and the state of his soul than she was to her physical body being attacked. Alessandro could not effect the rape, so he stabbed her 14 times. And she was rushed to the hospital. They found her lying on the kitchen floor, half dead. After a fruitless surgery, without anesthesia, by the way, Maria forgave Alessandro. She said, I forgive him, quote, for the love of Jesus. She died the next day after the assault. Alessandro was sent to prison on a 30-year prison sentence. After 8 years in prison, Maria appeared to him in a dream, and she offered him a lily. Well, eventually, this caused his conversion in prison, that she had forgiven him, and this made such an impact in him that he was a model prisoner. He paroled early. He was at Maria Goretti's canonization, and he said this, quote, "I hope for salvation, since I have a saint in heaven praying for me," close quote. St. Maria Goretti, pray for us.
And Jesse, I'll add one more thing. He spent 40 years in a Benedictine monastery as the gardener of the monastery, and many of those guys didn't know his story, and they were marveling at his devotion to the Blessed Mother, to the Holy Eucharist. He lived a holy life in those 40 years as that gardener. And also, one more little thing. When she appeared in the cell, she had 14 flowers. For the 14 flowers represented the 14 times he stabbed her. Yeah, I just think it's awesome because we're living in times, right? Like that she's a great model for purity today in the world. Hey, when we come back, Jess, we got so much more to chat about. Trump's team is quietly launching a Twitter-like social media platform. Is that a response to the cancel culture? You bet it is. We need that right now. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We want to inspire you to fall in love with Jesus and His church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Don't forget, the month of July is dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus Christ. Go to Mass as often as possible. Go receive the Holy Eucharist as often as possible. Make sure you're a regular adorer of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen.
So, did you know that the Trump team quietly launches a Twitter-like social media platform called Getter? But he's also facing these criminal indictments because they don't want him to launch this media platform, so they're trying to stall him with frivolous indictments and frivolous court hearings. Donald Trump is not known for doing things quietly, but a new social media enterprise led by one of the former president's closest advisors debuted late Wednesday night. Trump's senior advisor, Jason Miller, is behind the site, which is called Getter, and Mediaite reported last week that he stepped away from his post to launch the Twitter-like platform. And Jason Miller shared the story on his Twitter profile, which still lists him as a Newsmax contributor. The timing would not seem fortuitous, given criminal charges handed down on Thursday against the Trump Organization and its longtime CFO, Ellen Weiselberg. But given Trump's ability to turn outrage and a media firestorm to his benefit, this maybe the timing is just right. And again, the CFO, Ellen Weiselberg, he's being hauled into court, typical attorney general going after him for tax evasion, and he's already entered a not guilty plea. But they're doing this, Terry, to stall Donald Trump's new media platform. That's exact. So they're going after him with frivolous, petty indictments. It's been reported in the past few months that Trump was considering launching his own social network, and the former president has been in search of a new megaphone ever since Twitter permanently banned him and Facebook suspended his account for 2 years. Those actions came in response to Trump's post before and after the siege on the U.S. Capitol. By the way, he had nothing to do with it. I just have to throw that in there. So as a result of that, The Hill recently reported that Trump and conservative-leaning platform Parler had been in discussions even before the Capitol riot about the former president joining the platform with Parler, offering Trump 40% of the company's gross revenues. But those discussions broke down over Trump's insistence that the platform ban those who criticized him. I don't blame him. So what of Getter itself? Before the news of the indictment broke, it had a little over 1,000 downloads on the Apple App Store. Shortly after the indictment news, the number was about the same. Out of more than 1,000 ratings, it received nearly unanimous praise with an average of 4.9 out of 5 stars. Many of the most helpful comments seemed more political than technical in their praise. However, with titles like Escape from Digital Tyranny and titles like Back to Free Speech, the Getter platform looks to be a fairly simple Twitter knockoff that allows users dialogue with other Getterites and post short bits of commentary along with news stories, photos, and videos.
Yes.
And the app's grammatically challenged description in the App Store reads the following. It says, quote, Getter is a non-biased social network for people all over the world. Getter tried the best to provide the best software quality to the users, allow anyone to express their opinion freely. It also touts a quick sign-up process, which apparently only requires an email address. So, Terry, we'll see. I wish President Trump success in this new media platform.
And, Jesse, the only thing I'll add that I like about it, it gives you more characters than Facebook, which is good. It's up to 777 characters. And you can post up to 3-minute long videos. And Anthony, who does our videos, he can edit the videos within the app. This is user-friendly from what Anthony is telling me. So this is a good news. I would encourage everyone to get rid of the traditional, and I use that word, traditional social media, whether it's YouTube or Facebook.
Yes.
And just start using alternatives. They're coming out all the time. And we have to do that because why would we want to support? I just did this, Jesse. I'll give a plug without any commercial payment to Virgin Most Powerful. Pure Talk. They said, hey, look, if you're on AT&T or you're with any of the other major carriers, go to Pure Talk. It's a conservative phone service. They support pro-life efforts, conservative teachings. And so it didn't cost me a dime. It was less than what I'm paying at AT&T and the other ones, and the same quality. But here's what I want to feel good about writing a check to those people every month, Jess. I don't feel good writing a check to AT&T or to all these other carriers that are promoting so-called same-sex marriage. Why not vote with our pocketbook on social media?
Terry, right after the stolen election, I got off of the very next day, I got off of Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Parler and Gab, and now I'm going to get Getter.
Yeah.
So I left Facebook and Twitter because, I mean, it's time to, I'm part of the well over 70 million Trump voters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the over 70 million Trump voters.
I'm with you, brother.
And I think it's time that we really fight back and we put our, like you just said, we need to be impactful and start today. We've got to mobilize as people of faith. And it's time we put forth the power that we truly hold in this country.
Yep.
And how do we do this? Well, we're being tested right now. How do we start? Well, step one, get out of Facebook and Twitter. They hate Trump. They hate conservatives. They hate people of faith. They hate patriots.
Yep.
And move to Parler, Gab, and now we have Getter.
Yep.
The second thing I would tell people to do is turn off the mainstream media. Don't tune into CNN.
That's right.
Don't let their ratings tank. Don't tune into MSNBC, ABC, or NBC. And don't tune into Fox other than Ingram, Trump, and Carlson. Those are the only guys that are worth listening to. The other ones, they're all, the rest of Fox, they're all basically the mainstream media. And number three, try your best. I know it's hard because the culture of death seems to have their hands in everything. But try your best not to use Amazon or any of these large retailers. Support small businesses.
Exactly. Subsidiary
principle.
Support
small businesses.
Exactly.
Yeah. And remember, as people of faith, we don't loot. We don't burn down buildings. We don't turn to violence. We do things differently. And so we have to act now. These organizations that I've mentioned, the mainstream media, even Fox outside of Tucker, Hannity, and Ingram, and also Facebook and Twitter, they hate Trump. They hate conservatives. They hate patriots. They hate people of faith. And they want to turn our country into a leftist utopia by, again, getting us an unelected president and vice president, the most leftist evil pair to ever be in the White House.
That's Jesse, people are, good job. People are asking me, how do you spell it? It's G-E-T-T-R I'll say it one more time. We say Getter, but G-E-T-T-R. This is the new social media platform. And so I want to encourage, like Jess just said, common sense isn't that common right now, Jess. Here's the point. Was it painful for me to go and get a new phone and change my meat to a pure talk? It was painful. But you know what? I feel, like I said, it's necessary that we all try to stop supporting the best we can any of these narratives that are going out to cancel culture. Anytime we can stop them with our dollars, please do it.
Yeah, Terry, they hate us. And just to show you how evil big tech is, these social media platforms, here's a couple of topics that Terry and myself have done in the last year. I brought them all up. Here's one. Okay?
Yeah.
CatholicVote.org, it says, big tech silenced Donald Trump, but, okay, that's one. Here's another topic you and me did a while back ago. Yeah. YouTube suspends Trump channel for 7 days in latest strike by big tech censors. Here's another topic we did. As big tech muffles conservative voices, dystopian novel 1984 is top-selling book on Amazon. In other words, they're trying to turn us into the 1984 where they control our speech and our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Social media making people antisocial and jealous. Here's another one we did. Facebook makes us more depressed. Here's another one. Big tech and politics. Facebook chief operating officer Sheryl Sandberg announced that she would be making a personal, not a corporate, gift of $1 million to Planned Parenthood in reaction to recently passed pro-life laws. Here's another one. Pop culture. Social media isn't social. It harms young people. Here's another one.
Wow.
Trump preparing executive order to address perceived bias as social media giants. Well, it's too late for that. He's no longer president. Here's another one. Twitter permanently bans James O'Keefe of Project Veritas after he releases videos damaging to CNN. Here's another one. A Florida governor, DeSantis, to penalize big tech companies for unlawful practices. And also another Catholic friend of ours, Patrick Kaufman. He was having, Terry, a Truth Over Fear conference.
Yep.
I think it was about 2 or 3 months ago.
Sure.
And right in the middle of the it was May 7th
pulled
to 9th
plug,
of this
man.
Year. They pulled the plug during a live conference.
Oh, my God.
He had about 30 or 40 doctors talking about the Great Reset, COVID-19, these experimental jabs. And they pulled the plug right in as the conference was into like its fourth or fifth hour. It was 50,000 people were registered. Terry, this is how evil these people are.
And you know, Jess, this is an attack on the person of Christ, really. Think about what Pope Pius XII said. Venerable Pope Pius XII said this. The accusations of the oppressive rigidity made against the church by the new morality, in reality, attacks in the first place the adorable person of Jesus Christ himself. So this cancel culture, Jess, yeah, it's attacking the Romero family, the Barber family, but really this evil program is attacking the beautiful face of Jesus Christ because this new morality is not, I'm not going to say it's bad, it's evil, Jesse. That's how I describe this.
Yeah, and Fulton Sheen, he gave a good description
of
the description of bad versus evil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
These billionaires that run these big tech companies, they're not bad people, Terry. They're
evil
people. Yeah. Here's what Fulton Sheen says. He says, quote, the difference between a bad man and an evil man is this. A bad man sins individually. An evil man tries to get others to sin, to be complicit in his sin, to bring another to ruin as he has done for himself. Based on that definition, Terry, the owners of these billionaire owners of these big tech companies, they're not bad men. They're evil men.
Well said, Jesse. And when we come back, I want to talk about Facebook, but I also want to thank everybody. This is middle of the summer. We are running a little bit of a slump right now. Financially, if you could give us a donation by calling 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org. We'd appreciate it. We come back. Let's talk about Facebook under attack after issuing new extreme content warnings. What's that about? We'll tell you all about it when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin most powerful radio. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Well, here's some good news. Facebook is under attack by by patriots, by conservatives, by people of faith.
Yep.
After they've issued these new extremist content warnings. Yes, sir.
Facebook, I love it.
Facebook's getting bashed for sending notifications to users users who use it deemed as having been exposed to extremist content that may be considered too right wing. So users across the internet are fighting back. They're responding to Facebook for sending them these pop-up warnings that they've been exposed to so-called extremist content. So that's what pops up.
Right.
And the Red State editor, Kira Davis, tweeted on July 1st. She says, quote, "Hey, has anyone had this message pop up on their Facebook? My friend, who's not an ideologue, they're not really political, but hosts lots of competing chatter, got this message twice. He's very disturbed." And the Facebook notification asked, "Are you concerned that someone you know is becoming an extremist?" The platform followed up by assuring users that, quote, "We care about preventing extremism on Facebook. Others in your situation have received confidential support." My take, Terry, is that the Biden administration, who's in with communist China, this is a communist tactic to basically infringe upon our rights, our free speech and our thoughts. To me, I see the hands of the Democrat Party behind their buddies at Facebook to try to ferret out what they would consider people that have extremist views. Like if you're pro-life or pro-traditional marriage, you would be considered an extremist on Facebook.
And not only that, Jesse, all social media right now, the liberal social media, will take us down. For example, what YouTube did to us and to other conservative. I'll be honest, I'm conservative. Well, the Bible will actually support my position as being a conservative. But here's my point, Jess. We with Bishop Joseph Strickland, a Catholic bishop, doing a show on Virgin Most Powerful on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. YouTube sent us a note saying, strike one, you can't do that. That's an extreme position. That's going to offend our listeners, talking that you can't commit adultery. What? We all commit adultery. That's what that's implying, that you can't say that today. Well, that's why we have to fight back, and that's why my smiling face is on the air right now when I heard about Facebook under attack, because we do need to push back. We have to push back. If we don't push back, I really mean this, Jesse. I think it's a sin of omission. We've got to step up to the plate and fight error with truth.
If we don't push back, they're going to push us off the cliff, okay?
Yep.
Because our backs are to the cliff at this point. And conservatism, patriotism, people of faith, we're under attack right now in our country.
Yep.
We need to contact Facebook headquarters.
Yeah,
here's the number 650-308-7300. And we got to demand, I'll repeat it three more times.
Yep.
We got to demand that big tech hold the left accountable for their own policies.
Yep.
And if you've noticed bias at Facebook, contact the Media Resource Center. Go to our website and get this article. The number is 1-650-308-7300. One more time.
Yep.
Contact Facebook headquarters and tell them to hold the left accountable for their own policies, because conservatism is under attack. The number is 1-650-308-7300. Go to the show page, vnpr.org or jesseromero.com. Get this article, and it has the contact information to get a hold of Facebook. You could also send them an email. And one Media Resource Center staffer received the message three times within a minute. that they're concerned about their extremist content.
And Jesse, these are the same people who go after, you know, doctors like Dr. Robert Malone. He's no longer recognized by Wikipedia as being the creator of technology used in some COVID-19 vaccinations. Why? Because this inventor of the mRNA technology, why? Because he warned people not to take the COVID jab. See, if you're not part of the narrative, then you're an extremist. And so by being a follower of Jesus Christ, you're an extremist because you believe in objective truth, not moral relativism. These people are into what's true today might not be true tomorrow.
There's a gentleman who died in 1965. I probably wouldn't agree with him on many things. Yeah. His name's Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah.
He was part of the Nation of Islam. And he died in 1965. He was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
But he was onto something, Terry, about the powerful media.
Yeah.
And he knew that the media was corrupt even then. And let's be honest, big tech is part of the mainstream media now. Here's what Malcolm X warned us about, you know, in 1965. He said this, quote, "The media's most powerful entity on earth." It's the most powerful entity on earth, the media. "They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power, because the media controls the minds of the masses. The press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make the criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal. If you aren't careful, the newspapers," I would just say at this point, big tech, "will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing." Malcolm X. He wrote that about the mainstream media, about the newspapers and about the news stations. I would include today that cabal of people that are misinforming or passing out disinformation. I would include big tech as well, Terry.
And you know, Jesse, that reminds me, at the same time, 1965, we've played If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey, and basically exposes all the junk that where kids are being exposed to. Now, and what is that, 60 years ago? Almost. I mean, that's just amazing what we've been hitting. This has been a big tsunami coming up, and now we're having to face with it. I'll give you an example, Jesse, that this culture that we're dealing with is so warped, is even what we just celebrated the 4th of July, patriotism. I quoted Fulton Sheen saying that, yeah, I mean, obviously we should be loyal to our country, more loyal to Jesus Christ and his stripes than the flag, obviously. That's our first one. But here's the point. I want to play Paul Harvey's. No, I can't do it right now because of the break. But Jesse, when we come back, let's play what Paul Harvey had to say about If I Were the Devil and see if this applies, obviously, to us right now. But the point I'm making is, right now, people are deciding on what is truth in their own mind and what is right and what is wrong without any moral compass, without truth. And you see, it's what the truth is what sets us free, not a government, not some president who tells us it's okay to kill unborn babies. No, it's not. That's a lie, and that's evil.
Terry, and what we get from a lot of big tech is a lot of disinformation and misinformation.
Right.
And even just on a personal level, just talking about Facebook, I remember a couple of years ago we did a show.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Keith Abloh, who is a psychologist, he wrote an article. He says that Facebook causes depression.
Yeah, that's right.
He says we need to slap a warning label on Facebook. It causes dissatisfaction with life, intense envy, insomnia, major depression, disrupted friendships, feeling of isolation.
Yep.
He says Facebook may well be addictive, just like tobacco. He wrote another article. Dr. Keith Abloh says studies show Facebook may be a true significant public health threat for everything that I just mentioned right now. Another article from some other doctor, it says, from Ann Arbor, Michigan, he says Facebook use predicts decline in happiness. This was done by the University of Michigan.
Yep.
People that are always on Facebook for prolonged periods of time, this Michigan University says, their psychologist team say, that they have a decline in happiness. You have another university. Their article says, I'm depressed. Studies that prove Facebook actually makes us depressed. That's another university that did a study. And so, Terry, here's one more. Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg speaking at annual F8 conference, and his plans to make sure that Facebook is weaponized against what he terms fake news. Here's the problem. Mark Zuckerberg is a man of the left.
Yep.
So what he determines is fake news, like Catholic reporting, is really not fake news. It's real news.
That's right.
But he's going to determine what's fake news or not, Terry. Mark Zuckerberg.
Well said, Jesse. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a state that has 25 million people, second largest in population, Texas, and what they're doing to protect the unborn. It's fantastic. They got a Catholic governor, Jess, that just says, you know what? If the government's not going to, for a wall, they're going to build a wall. Oh, we'll build a wall, Texas. There are can-do kind of people out there in Texas. What are they doing about the unborn? They're saying, not on my watch. No abortion. You want to go get an abortion? Get the heck out of Texas and go somewhere else. And you know what? That meets my criteria of a good state in the union stops the killing of innocent life. And when we come back, we'll tell you all about how they're doing it and how we can have this spread to other states. I don't know about California because we're so, I mean, I would be shocked because we have so many liberals and we're so over the top on liberalism and in not talking about reality. But other states, I think, can follow Texas, especially the ones in the South who are more conservative and more Christ-centered than the West or the East Coast. That's my take, Jess. So let's do that when we come back. Here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Terry, you got three governors that are the border states.
Yeah.
They're all Catholics,
yeah.
But they have different levels of commitment to Christ.
Sure.
You got Governor Abbott from Texas,
right?
On fire Catholic.
Good.
On board. You got Governor Ducey from Arizona, kind of a waffling Catholic, you know, kind of a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Governor Newsom, yeah, who's a fake Catholic.
All right, Jess. We come back, we'll talk about how to protect the unborn, the state of Texas, what they're doing to do that very thing. So stay with us, family. We'll be back with Terry and Jeff.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
It's important for governors that are Catholic, mm-hmm, to embrace their Catholic faith because it forms their conscience and it forms the way they govern their state. For
right.
example, DeSantis is a practicing Catholic. Look at the way he governs Florida. Abbott is a practicing Catholic. Look at the way he governs Texas. Ducey is a practicing Catholic, but more of the liberal modernist type. And he bats about 75% or 80% in terms of his legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Newsom is a leftist Catholic, probably doesn't attend, yeah, on the doorstep of a church. And look at the way he governs his state. He governs it under secular humanist principles. Texas Governor Abbott, he signed a trigger bill that's outlawing abortion completely if Roe versus Wade is overturned, because he knows right now that the Democrats have all three offices, and they can go after Roe versus Wade and make, you know, they can basically, if they want, they can try to make it federal law.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas will become the first state to outlaw abortion procedures completely after Governor Greg Abbott signed a new trigger bill into law. The legislation, which completely bans abortions with very few exceptions, would only take effect if certain necessary conditions are met, such as a court legally overturning Roe versus Wade, or a national law that authorizes states to prohibit abortion. Representative Giovanni, pointing to a legal challenge before the Supreme Court, said, quote, a favorable ruling would make Texas one of the first states to end abortions. House Bill 1280, which Caprigiglione authored, would automatically be enacted 30 days after the necessary condition is met. Texas doctors who perform abortions under the new law would face life in prison or pay up to $100,000 in fines. Wow, praise the Lord.
Really
the governor's signature on the legislation comes just 1 month after he signed a bill and banned abortions after 6 weeks into a pregnancy. And this is what the Texas legislature did in session. They said, our creator endowed us with the right to life, and yet millions of children lose their right to life every year because of abortion. In Texas, we work to save those lives. That's exactly what the Texas legislator did this session. These are the words from Governor Abbott.
Jesse, let me just jump right in. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to tell you why I'm embarrassed. I want to see my church say that. I want the church to come out and say, our creator endowed us with rights to life, and yet millions of children lose their right to life every year because of abortion. I got that yesterday, how the bishops are defending the Hyde Amendment, saying that we need to have it. But we need more of our Catholics and priests and bishops and the Pope and the bishops to say, to defend this life. It impresses me that the state legislature acknowledges something that our government should acknowledge from the Constitution, that our rights don't come from the state of California or Texas or Arizona. They come from God-given rights. And I appreciate that.
Well, Terry,
I'm just being honest.
I heard this morning in the local news here, quoting it. I think it was the Barna Research, which is a very respected polling. Michael Voris was interviewing George Barna. He said, this is kind of sad, and this is why we have the situation that we have right now. He said only six, George Barna said this morning on Church Militant, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview.
Wow.
Is this microphone on? Let me see that. This is why we're at right now in the country. Only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview.
Yep.
This is why we're in the mess we're in, because we've basically turned away from God. And what we do at the Terry and Jesse Show, we consider ourselves kind of like a lighthouse trying to get, people to come and dock their boat so they don't crash. We're like a lighthouse because we know that there's a storm out there. And I also see us, Terry, I see our shows here, our show especially, Jesus 911.
Sure.
I see us also as, in the Old Testament, the men were called, there were certain men called the watchmen. What does it mean to be a watchman? You stood on the walls of Jerusalem, and while everybody was inside the city, so the men, they manned the wall 24 hours a day, and they were looking out and scouting for enemies to come in. When enemies started marching towards Jerusalem, the watchmen, they closed the gates of the city, they got their bow and arrows, they got their cannonballs, and they got ready to protect Jerusalem. That's what we are here, Terry.
That's right. You're right.
We are simply watchmen for the new Israel of God, the Catholic Church.
And people want to support what we're doing here at Virgin Most Powerful. Call us at 800 or 877-526-2151, or make a donation if you can to vmpr.org. Jesse, here's a final thought. I want to see if we can get Paul Harvey on, but China's one policy has left over 1 million old people totally alone with no family life. And this is what's happening right now. We are killing the future citizens of our country, and so many of these people are going to regret it when they get older. Mr. Engineer, let's get Paul Harvey to give us a little 1960. Let me set the stage. 1965, Paul Harvey comments about, if I were the devil, what I would do.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
55 years ago, Jesse, that was done.
Yep. Terry, Governor Abbott understands all of that, and he has a properly formed moral conscience.
Absolutely.
Based on the Word of
yes.
God. But the problem is most of the other Catholic politicians don't have a property. Most of the other Catholic politicians, they all buy into the seamless garment heresy given to us by Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, where people like Biden and Pelosi and Newsom, they take positions that, you know, like climate change is equal with abortion or unemployment is equal with homosexual marriage. And so they falsely, Terry, they equivocate with their this fake theology to push more social justice, and they're blinded to see that not all sins are equal, not all trespasses and infractions are equal. They all buy into the seamless garment heresy promoted by modernists, and this way they're able to look you straight in the face, say, "I'm Catholic." And I think, like Joe Biden just told the U.S. military in a speech, he went to, I forget which camp he was there. He told, you got thousands of soldiers there looking at him in uniform at attention. And he says, "The biggest threat that we're facing right now is global warming." I'm sure 90% of those young troops wanted to start busting up and laughing and they fall off their chair, but they couldn't. But this is, again, Terry, this is the diabolical, you know, what it's called psyops, this psychological manipulation by people in authority where they, since they have the upper hand over you, they could just keep telling you things that are wrong. And since you have no position of power like a soldier or a Marine or an airman or a Navy corpsman, they have no position of power. They just keep hearing this garbage day in and day out. And some of these young people end up believing it.
And that's why we got to keep pushing back with our faith. And this is something that for far too long we've been too quiet. Even as a church, we've been too quiet. If you remember, Jesse, years ago, the Catholics, John F. Kennedy, you remember 1959 when he made that statement, "We're just going to be along with the Catholic Church. The Pope's not going to tell me how to govern the United States, anything on my morality. I'm not going to let that happen." And from that point on, Catholics caved in. We wouldn't speak out for the truth. And that's a sad day in American history. Jesse, the 5 points of of David. King David, 5 points. Hit him.
Pray a rosary every single day. No excuses. Read your Bible every single day. Do penance. Mm-hmm. Penance. Penance. Go to Mass as often as possible, especially every Sunday in the six holy days of obligation. And go to confession frequently, at least once a month, and remain in a state of grace. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
You nailed it.
Get holy or die trying.
Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland from Tyler, Texas. He's going to be talking about our Catholic faith and how to push back with the culture. Yeah, that's the kind of bishop I'm looking for. And he's on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay with us. Get the app if you can't hear it on the station by going to vmpr.org. Download the free app. You can hear these shows anywhere in the world. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.